Yeah.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Pod Bay 2
Gay. This is Freedom Fiends. No, Pod Bay 2 Gay.
Wait, wait, let's both do intros at the same time, all right?
Okay,
one,
all right.
One, two, three, go. This is the Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A. This is Mr. Michael W. Dean. Iron Hats from Mile Above Sea Level. Studios. We blast only the finest aged happiness waves out into the atmosphere. Surrounding your globe with good vibrations. This warms your brain and tastes just as bad after surrender.
This cools your stool to a temp of stagnacious 75 degrees and keeps a sin flood of strainism out of your brain.
I feel it.
Is it working, Jim?
Yeah, man. Is Jim
working, Michael?
Is Jim working? I don't think we have
Jim. No, sir. No.
Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse. The Freedom Fiends and everything is now covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
In my car.
Your car.
Yeah, I drove home with my BIPCOT license on my dash just in case I got stopped. I could show the officer.
Well, you know, you've tried about every tactic in traffic court before. To the point,
this will be a new one.
To the point where you'll try things you're pretty sure won't work. I think next time you should go in and say, I don't recognize your authority because I'm licensed. Don't do the authority thing. Just say, hey, I have all the licenses I need right here and lay it on his desk.
Hey, I got everything I need. And this isn't even a real court. This is Admiralty Court. You've got fringes on your flag.
Sissy fringes. Yeah. You had fringes on your shirt at Porkfest. That picture of you on the toilet. You did some nice creative altering there.
Thanks. You know, that wasn't even me. That was a beautiful Muslim woman, Will Coley's wife from Muslims for Liberty. She doctored that shirt for me, and you would never think it. She's so modest. She's covering up, but she made a shirt for me that's
revealing. You're one of the white devils. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just saying what our listeners would probably think. Will Coley's really nice, and I've said hi to his wife. She seems really nice, too.
I even think that. I mean, I am guilty of stereotyping in this way. You know, I see a woman who covers her body head to toe in cloth for religious reasons, and I think there's no way she's going to make me a sexy shirt that's all ripped up and doctored back together with rainbow stripes down the sides. But she did. It's got beads and so pretty. And I did wear it in that weird bathroom picture. It was a recreation of last year's Porkfest bathroom.
Excellent.
Picture.
And people should go to it's currently my profile picture at let's see, probably not anymore. At my Twitter. And you know, I surpassed you in number of Twitter followers today. You've been ahead of me for 7 years, and today I passed you by like two followers.
I gotta get on it. Yeah. All right.
Well, I kind of live on there too. Although living on there can drive people away from following you too if you post too much, which I don't know.
Yeah, you chat. You use Facebook like it's a chat program.
Like it's email.
I mean, it's email.
Yeah, man. I Twitter like it's email to my friends. I do. So
yeah,
I'm losing my voice, but I'm just filling in. I'm not even supposed to be on tonight. I'm filling in because James Babb.
I'm not
is,
even
like,
supposed to be here today
on this earth.
Yeah. No, you're not supposed to be here today. I
just want to read this note that Derek J sent me.
Okay.
Through the snail mails, you sent me a card.
Aww.
And you said, celebrate the happiness that friends are always giving. No homo, just kidding. Hey, Michael, I love you, man. Thanks for the awesome buttons. I will give them to cool people I meet at Porkfest. What a blast it is hosting the 700th episode with you and the other fiends last night. This is from like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And hearing DJ was a special treat too. I've had this on my desk meaning to read it on the air since then. He said, you really have made something cool that brings me joy every day. And without being too sappy, I just wanted to say thank you for being who you are. You being in my life makes life more pleasant. That's another reason I'm celebrating your heroic recovery. You sounded great last night. I don't sound great tonight. Love you. Looking forward to more. Yours in peace, Derek J.
Aw. I'm going to cry just hearing that again. I do love you, Michael. Shucks. And thank you for creating something so cool.
The Fiends.
It is a lot of fun to do this. Yeah, The Fiends. Well, yeah, you did. But when we were doing it at live at Porkfest, it was just such a special energy. So many people there who love you and love what you've produced. So thanks for making this platform.
Yep. You know what a lot of it is just not giving up. I mean, we're on like 4 years now, and there's a lot of times it you know has not seemed worth it for a few minutes at a time. But I never gave up. I always just show up and do it. And now we've got 20 hosts, which you'd think would make it 1/20th is hard, but it's more like I have 20 cats to herd now, so it doesn't really make it any easier, but it gives it more personalities, so that's good.
Yeah, and we can hold each other's hand through the bathroom of life.
Let's talk about that picture. Describe that picture.
For listeners who haven't yet seen it, there's a room in Rogers Campground bathroom, right? You have to know the secret password to enter. And
well, the only reason we know it is because we showed a film there last year, and it was like nothing ever happens at that venue. It's like that's where they put you if they're like, yeah, we don't really want him showing a film, but okay, he bugged his friend.
Right, they try and keep you separate.
He has friends in medium places, you know. So like Ian and Derek said to have him show his film. So.
Yeah,
so they put me at the,
show
at the,
your movie over there
at the children's petting zoo, and it's like there's no other events there. Just the only thing was Guns and Weed, Road to Freedom. So it was where we were going.
Yeah, did a screening. It was a screening against a brick wall.
It was.
They don't even pull. pull down a white sheet for you. Just like project your movie onto brick. And so we were out there beside the pool at Rogers Campground. There is this little secret bathroom, and it hasn't been, it's such a secret, it hasn't even been finished. I think the builders forgot about it.
Yeah.
And there are two toilets in there. Like, I guess, I don't know, whoever was building
right
it wanted
next
to be
to each
extra
other.
Prepared. Yeah, they
did. But it's weird because it looks like,
They're
so close. The two toilets in this big room are so close. It's like, it looks like they were going to put 10 in there. That close, but just stopped at two and then never put up the partitions. It's like buddy toilets next to each other.
It's really hard to figure out what went wrong. Did they run out of money? Is it poor planning?
Oh, it would have, as James Babb said, it would have cost dozens of dollars to put a partition up between those two.
Yeah, and they haven't done it yet. It took all year. They did paint the wall. Last year, there were like splotches of spackle covering up the holes in the wall, and that looked interesting. But this year, finally, the walls are painted, so we had a nice, solid background. And a special undercover fiend who wore a bag on her head was my partner in crime, as she held my hand through the difficult toilet sitting of life at Rogers Campground. It was a really weird incident, and we did take like 300 pictures, the best of which made it online. And I didn't know what I was thinking. I wasn't all in my right mind at the time that the pictures were taken, but I hope I don't live to regret it. You know, these kinds of pictures you can't scrub from the internet. I got a lot of positive comments. People think it's funny.
No, 100 years after you're dead, when people search your name, that's going to be the only thing that comes up. No articles.
When the feds come and get me, that's the photo they're using.
Oh yeah, and that's like that's how they'll punish you in the future. Like when they finally control the internet, is you know they'll sentence you to whatever little jail they put you in, but then like they'll throw you down the memory hole. So all that's rememberable of you is not your activism; it's just your embarrassing moments.
Worms. It was pretty embarrassing at Porkfest. It was very public there this week. I don't think many saw where the actual bathroom photos happen. So I don't know if we're in danger of anyone trying to recreate our photo, get on our game.
I told Nicole that she should charge people next year. Like, if you want to be photographed there, she'll take you to the secret location and take your picture.
That's a good idea. Everyone wanted to back out. Everyone was for it until it was time to take the photos, and then no one wanted to step up.
Well, other than the photographer.
Bag over the head.
We don't need to say who is under the bag, although there are pictures of her in that same unique shirt doing the show an hour earlier, so it's not really that secret. But who was there when you took the pictures, and whose idea was the bag and the face on the bag?
I don't know if I should reveal all of this. The listener
well,
can put the puzzle
don't say who
together.
Was there, but, you know, I mean, don't say who's sitting on the toilet with you. Just say who was there.
Yeah.
Who was there?
So Diana was there. Some listeners were there. Some of the like listeners from the show went over with us afterwards to watch
what
the
fiends
photography
were there
happen.
And who said no?
Nicole Fiendworm was there.
Yeah, she took the picture.
MK was there.
Did she refuse?
Davi was there.
MK refused.
MK refused. MK, I think
cat.
She switched sides. She was going to do it, and then she backed out.
Switched sides.
Probably because she had a flash of like, accurate, like reasonable thought.
Yeah.
wait a minute.
Yeah.
I have some lucidity in this week.
Okay. What other fiends were there?
I think all the fiends were there. James Babb was there. I don't know what other fiends. So Chandler was there.
Did anyone else offer to do it, to sit for
Randy
it?
Randy England was there.
Oh, Randy should have sat for it.
I know.
He's so
I thought we all were going to do it. See, that was the thing. It was like I was the first in a line of photos, and then as soon as I got up, we were all done. Like, oh, we're leaving. See everybody. I guess, you know, everyone had better things to do than ruin their future reputation.
Yeah, I know. I think it improved your reputation, but maybe not for employment.
No. It worked out being great. You know, the fiends made a lot of friends with the vendors. I think we were probably the most popular show for vendors. They came up and donated food. We licensed them with the BIPCOT NoGov license. So it was a nice reciprocal relationship there, too.
Why did they like the fiends and bring them food?
Because we would pimp their promotions.
Services.
You know, we
yeah.
would talk yeah. about what sort of food they provide, which, like, you know, I didn't hear any of the other shows doing that. Yeah. So, you know, the fiends are looking out for you, Porkfest yeah. providers.
Hmm.
Worms.
Huh. Okay, I see what James Babb is doing wrong here, if he's listening.
Yeah.
I just said,
yeah.
I said, he's still trying to connect to you, not me.
I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to call him on the phone.
Meow.
You want to call him on the phone? Why don't you call
Let's
on the phone?
Let's fiend phone him.
No, call on the phone right now.
So I'll
I
can
hear my voice. All right. Yeah, get him on.
Meow.
Meow.
Worms.
Worms. All right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Meow.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
I hear we're coming back. I can argue with Jim Babb. No, Jim Babb, I wasn't saying you're stupid. I was really trying to remember of the 20 fiends if I had walked you through this before. I honestly didn't know.
Yes, I've done this a dozen times at least.
Okay. Well, good. Next time we have a new host, I'll have you teach them how to use it. Well, I'm gonna respectfully bow out because I am losing my voice, and it's good to have you on, Jim Babb. You're kind of cranky and feisty.
Great to be here.
That's a good thing. So I'm cranky and feisty. I'm gonna hand the cranky, feisty, cranky torch to Jim Babb. Go ahead, Jim. Thank
good
you for your
bye,
service.
Michael.
Oh, I'll be back.
Get out of here. We never want to see you again. All right, Jim. It's just you and me now.
All right.
So
I thought he'd never leave. Yeah, great to be with you.
Cooling your stool to a tepid and toasty 75 degrees. Hey, what did you want to talk about tonight? We got a bunch of stuff on the plate. We were talking about this ridiculous picture that Nicole Fiendworm took at Porkfest, the dueling defecation photo,
and
which is now living in infamy.
I think that's wonderfully amusing. I just don't know how interesting that would be to the audience to discuss a photo they're not seeing.
Well, why were you there? Did you take some photos?
No.
All right. Well, thank then goodness. I
Jim Bab doesn't you, want to do visual there. Humor on the radio.
That's fair enough. But, so why were you so turned off by it? You didn't want to ruin your future like all the rest of the fiends?
Actually, I didn't know when it was happening, or maybe I would have done it, but it was serendipitously absent.
All right. So what would you run and go off and do? Beer tasting?
I don't know. That's possible, probable, but I don't even remember when it was, so I can't tell you what I was doing.
Worms. It was right after the live Saturday episode of Freedom Fiends. Some of the fiends decided to hang out afterwards with some of the listeners. It was pretty rad.
Well, I guess. Well,
was Jim Bab breaking into
photo,
local
the
FBI
big group
offices?
Photo. So
was Jim Bab breaking
right,
into local FBI offices?
Right. I destroyed some draft records at the local FBI office.
How heroic! Yeah, I just saw that. You know, that's in your area where the Camden 20 something. I don't know how many of them there were. The Camden 28. Those folks who raided a federal building and destroyed the draft records in like the 70s. Wasn't that in your area?
Yeah, well, there was two big events back to back. There was the media break-in in 1971, and that was wildly successful, where they picked some locks, snuck in, grabbed everything, and ended up with some exposing the COINTEL program, which later led to the discovery that the FBI was infiltrating the anti-war movement, civil rights movement, women's liberation movement, and had these nasty, nasty campaigns to not just infiltrate and spy on, but to disrupt and ruin marriages, like anything they could to be just big jerks. So, came after that.
Wasn't that the Rage Against the Machine quote that they referenced? The through counterintelligence, it should be possible to pinpoint potential troublemakers and neutralize them. Yeah, they were talking about like Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, well, they actually tried to get him to commit suicide by like blackmailing him into suicide, saying, we're going to let everybody know what you did, and you only have one way out, and here's your deadline, like right before he was to get the Nobel Peace Prize. Horrible. No limits to these horrible, nasty people.
It's because they work and live in such ugly buildings. Those government buildings in D.C. are so depressing. I can't blame the FBI. They want to kill themselves. They try and make Martin Luther King want to kill himself.
So if it was just some improved architecture, you think that we wouldn't have this problem with the FBI?
Yeah, that's the heart of it. Do you see this happening in Italy or any of the other countries where they have beautiful architecture?
They do have
it's just
nice
Washington, D.C. It has the worst problem. Yeah, it's like if you ever taken the subway down there.
In D.C.? Sure.
That's enough to make you want to kill yourself.
Well, you know, it's better than the Philly subway. Jeez.
You put some billboards down there in the D.C. subway.
Yes, I did.
Some seditious billboards.
Yes, they made some prosecutors grumpy.
Now they were already grumpy.
More grumpiness.
Nice architecture in D.C. You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Meow, worms, worms. Welcome back, fiends. Hey, Jim. Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
You know, I was contacted about a week ago by the government. It was kind of funny. They sent me a letter. Uh-oh. They were very interested in me for some reason.
Is it a love letter?
Well, it was one of these ones that's I had had a interaction with a badged a member of the badge class, and this followed that up, I guess, because I had failed to, I don't know, do something else after I get harassed by this badged person. But anyway, they mailed me this nice letter from the warrant unit. Final notice before arrest. A warrant has been issued for your arrest. You have 72 hours to make. It says. Then it's like it's
to make.
Stopped. That's all it says. Total due.
That's a euphemism, isn't it?
To make out, to make up, to make. I don't know what they're talking about.
Means go number two. take a liberty movement.
Total due $183.75.
Man, due. How many hours? It's even got the word due in there. Like they're just messing with you, man.
How many hours do you have for this community chest award? You've got this mail 70, from the
72
government.
Hours. I have 72 right. hours to claim my prize.
or else you get a different prize, a new home, a brand new cell. So what is this? What's your crime? Did you park in the wrong place or something? Are you some sort
well,
of villain?
Evidently, I made a right on red when you weren't supposed to. Right?
How could you?
You know,
Jim. Think of all the children.
Well, there was nobody coming, and it just seemed. It was just one of those natural things where, of course, you're going to just go on autopilot because it's the right thing to do. You just don't stop to think like, oh, there's some arbitrary prohibition and a revenue generator down the road. So,
yeah, let go and let gov. Just let the gov guide you. Yeah, that's sad. I'm sorry that you got that. And you're not going to fight it. You're going to pay that off. Go have some fun in court.
Well, actually, I did. I did call them. It's funny. I had actually sent them my not guilty plea.
Did you include a BIPCOT license?
So I called them.
You have to include a BIPCOT license next time.
Right. On the check. I should include that on the check. Like, this check can be used by anybody except the government. see if they respect that. I called, and they're like, well... They're like, well, do you have any other tickets? Because we see that you pled not guilty, and we've got your check here. But who sent you? She asked me. She goes, well, who sent you that letter? I said, I don't know. It's just it doesn't say who sent it. It's just warrant unit. She's like, well, if you don't tell me who sent it, then there's nothing I can do about it. I'm like, look at you. You sent me the letter.
Could you imagine a mafia care. Operating
they don't
this
know.
Way? Like, hey, can you tell us who came into your home and broke all your stuff? Well, I don't know. It was one of your agents. It was some Bruno guy. I don't know. Well, I can't help you, sir, if you can't tell me, who came and took your baseball card collection. What are you supposed to do when you're interacting with these people? They want your money. They want your compliance. But then when you try and give it, that's not even good enough. They don't even know how to help you comply.
Yeah, it really so makes weird. Me want to switch to an alternative extortion racket. I'm not pleased with this service, and I wonder if I can go with a different provider.
Yeah, there you go. That's the ticket.
Yeah, it's at least you can do is, it does the letter have to be in all caps when you're threatening somebody? I mean, is that just...
Oh, yeah, and red. Like red ink. That's very important. Did you
I
get
felt
a pink
like they were yelling at me in a letter. I don't, you don't have to yell at me. Just say your money or your life in a stern but nice voice.
How long until they just start sending adults to the principal's office? They need to create a a new department outside of the police department. And I'm wondering if the BIPCOT licenses actually will start to work in court. Like, I remember the trial of Vernon Hershberger. He's a farmer who was selling raw milk. And he had an explicit contract, like a paper that he drew up with his customers. And since it was in writing and they had a written agreement, the jury sort of gave him a pass. Like, yeah, you know, he violated the law, but at least everyone knew what was going on. So maybe the BIPCOT no-gov license could actually be a free pass if a jury ever were to read it. Like, well, hey, he had the license for everything, and it allowed for use except by government agents. It's clear enough to us.
Yeah.
Who cares if it's not official?
Hey, why not? In fact, if the judge would allow the jury to see it, but the jury might see it, and then the judge might insist that they forget that they saw it. So, you know, there's always that. So even if they see it, they might have to forget when ordered to.
Right. The persecutor in charge is going to wipe their memories clean with the Men in Black memory eraser stick.
Yeah. What was that? The neuralizer? What they called it?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what the movie called it, but the prosecutors are always trying to use this trick. Evidence was not submitted properly. So, hey, judge, wave your magic wand and make the jury forget that piece of information. You can consider that.
Right. Or they're going to be like, jurors, you've each been handed a long needle. Please insert into temple and self phlebotomize. Okay. I swear half would do it. Well, the judge said so I guess we have to.
Yeah. Are there sandwiches after this? Do we get paid our $5 now? Isn't that what you get?
No respect.
You get like a bag of chips for your service. It is no wonder people try and get out of jury duty, but they really shouldn't, right?
Well, you know, I've got a way for anybody listening. If they want to get out of jury duty, this is I guarantee, virtually guarantee, this will get you immediately excused. You go to the Fully Informed Jury Association website, fija.org. They have these flyers you print out. Okay, print out enough for everybody in the court. Okay, take them with you to jury duty, and pass them out while you're waiting. Okay. You're in a big group of potential jurors. Just pass these out. You'll probably get about halfway done before you're asked to leave.
It sounds like you speak from experience. Right? Does this happen to you?
Well, I've never been accepted for jury duty, so I can't say.
why not? Don't you want to be?
I don't know. I would, you know, I have mixed feelings about that. It's kind of a lot of responsibility. For instance,
not guilty every time.
Well, and that's fine if it's let's just say, you know, of course, for all the stupid stuff, 90% of course.
No, it doesn't matter the crime. But, not guilty all the time because it's a state court. I don't want anything settled in a state court. You know, they're going to come up.
I agree with
the right decision. They're going to come up with the wrong punishment, the wrong remedy for the situation. Yep. Let it be handled privately.
Oh, I agree.
If people got a problem, let them handle it themselves.
Well, you know, but what if you had somebody? I mean, my concern was like, what if you had somebody who's like a real nasty, violent person? Okay,
it's good.
Like
the one, then let him be
0.1%.
He'll really get it coming to him in the real world. You know, I saw some actually nasty people, Jim, when I was in jail. People who, you know, I think should have had punishment much worse than jail, and they were being protected in there. The fact that they were behind those concrete walls kept them alive and fed. And if they were out in the real world doing their crimes, I don't think they would have lasted as long and lived as happy lives as they did inside those cages.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I also think about all the innocent people in jail. And if you send a violent predator in there, at least on the outside, people have a better chance of defending themselves, right? Inside jail, it could be very difficult, you know, because you can't have a gun. You're forced into these close quarters with people. You have no property rights of any kind. So you could be preyed upon by these violent people. So I don't want to send them to jail. I also don't want them really just, you know, walking around on the outside either. So there'd be consequences either way. But I would take the jury duty. And I would probably do what you do and just say not guilty for almost anything. Maybe anything.
No. Anything. Anything, period.
Anything.
Yeah. Because the courtroom shouldn't
even
exist.
You are.
I mean, it shouldn't even exist. You're right. It shouldn't exist. Let it be handled somewhere else. I mean, the whole thing's a sham. You know, I don't want the courtroom to even be there.
I don't want government roads to be there either, but sometimes I have to drive on them. You know, it's like,
right.
Yeah, of course I'd prefer this wasn't the type of road, but unless I'm going to just, you know, stay in one place for the rest of my life, at some point I have to deal with government roads.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe I'm abdicating a little too much responsibility by saying that I would free any person in a courtroom, because like that is kind of like saying I don't want to use the roads at all. Like, well, what are you going to use? You know, so it's like if I don't want to use the courts to punish murderers and keep them off the streets, then am I going to take any responsibility to go hunt them down like a vigilante and and kill them myself or what?
Well, it's a real tough situation.
Is that my responsibility now?
Right. Well, it's a tough situation because they've outlawed the alternatives. You know, so you know, it's not like there's a free market for justice out there, and we can, you know, contact the proper service provider and have that justice delivered.
So, hey, speaking of, there's a great book I just started reading for folks who are into this kind of topic called Anarchy in New England. Have you heard of it, or do you have it?
I heard of it. I saw someone at Porkfest selling it or autographed copies. So I think the author was there, but I don't know the author.
Yeah, one of the gaynarchists, Joe Jarvis, is the author, and it's about this exactly what we're describing, like a justice protection agency, you know, that provides an alternative remedy for punishment and correction in 100 years in the future when there's already anarchy in New England and they're sort of having business struggles. Yeah, so it's pretty cool to see what would a business do 100 years down the line after there is already freedom. How do they solve the problem?
Oh, cool. Yeah, I want to read that.
Anarchy in New England. Yeah, it's pretty rad. I'm in the middle of it now. Very Ayn Randian. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Man,
yeah,
where we're going, we don't need roads.
So
I fell in love.
I know you don't like
what okay, I don't like. What
talk about the gay? I was gonna talk about the gays. Go ahead and tell me about your gay love experience.
I fell in love at Porkfest, Michael.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, there were so many gay anarchists there. I call them gay anarchists, the gay anarchists. And
well, but then there's another species. What's the other one? It sounds
the Homotarians.
Like,
but we don't care for them. We look down our nose at the Homotarians.
Why?
Because they're so controlling and statist.
Are they like the Ayn Rands of the gay libertarians?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. They're the Stefan Molyneux. Yeah.
We got Jim back.
Hey, Hi, welcome back, Jim.
How'd you get back on? Sometimes you just got to keep trying.
Now, Fiend Phone crashed while I was logging in, so I had to restart it.
No.
Or you crashed. You crashed.
Here, since this is a teaching hospital, I'll tell you, since I think I've told the other 19 hosts, but not Jim, we never blame Fiend Phone. We never say it did anything wrong.
No, it's my own fault that it crashed. It is. Yeah, it's totally my fault.
Well, you're also on wireless, and you're not supposed to use Fiend Phone on wireless. That's in the manual. That's like in the first page of the manual. So, yep.
Well, you know, rules are meant to be broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's why you're getting dropouts. But go ahead.
So
tell us about your gay love, like your romance. Well, there were requited.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty amazing. So, like, I have never expected this type of experience. You know, I'm okay in the love realm, but I never expected to be swept off my feet. You know, like with those romantic relationships you hear about, where it's like, you know, the pitter patter in your heart, and the person looks at you the same way, and you're like, ah, we love each other. It's not like that. You know, it was like, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, true love, and there are hearts and stars and rainbows and everything. But it was like, wow, hey, I found a guy who actually I didn't know existed and was interested in me at Porkfest, of all places. You know, this is a pretty good place to meet people. I wasn't expecting to. Like, last year, I went in with the expectation, like, hey, there are going to be hot gays. I'm going to pick one up. It's going to be awesome, and then we'll have a wonderful relationship. I did. I met a great gay anarchist last year. We had a couple of dates after that, but things didn't hit off. But now I met this other one at this next Porkfest, so things are going great, and I might fly out to San Fran. No, he lives in San Francisco.
Wow.
Yeah. So I might fly out and go visit.
You can't take your gun there, though.
I know. Well, I still could, right? I just got a concealed holster, so it should be nice and easy to conceal the baby Glock, the girly gun.
You can't get that on a plane.
I can fit it places.
Derek's like, that's a challenge. I want no part of this conversation. Man.
The TSA will never find it. They're too busy sniffing for Bitcoin.
Right.
Bitcoin.
Worms. Yeah. So, anyway, I thought that was cool. I didn't expect to find love at Porkfest. It's not like I was like, you know, Mr. like frowny face, I hate love or anything, but it was just like an unexpected surprise. It was very nice.
Well, I'll say this. I lived in San Francisco for 16 years.
Yeah.
And was very active, far more like out in the street than I am now. I wasn't a homebody at all. I never, ever, ever got searched by the cops there. Your mileage may vary.
It's not going to happen.
Just borrow a gun out there.
No, I feel like I could. I feel like I would be totally safe with a gun in California. No cops are ever going to pat me down. Even if they did, I think they would
start
think it's
screaming,
a prop or something.
Bad touch, bad touch, bad touch.
Stranger danger. You're not my mommy. You're not my daddy.
Well, I'll tell you this too. If you're ever in jail in San Francisco, tell them you're gay when they're booking you, because
why?
They literally have a gay section of the city jail there.
Yeah,
well, that's gonna be a lot more fun.
It's less dangerous.
Good.
I would say I was gay.
Probably
in San Francisco.
I got yelled at in jail for hanging up too many pictures. I couldn't decorate myself. I imagine you're allowed to do that in the gay section of the San Francisco jail.
They have better outfits, sure, too.
It's mandatory.
You can bedazzle your own outfit.
Oh, my God.
Bedazzle your jailhouse, orange.
Meow.
All right, man. You guys have a good second hour. I think you got it under control.
Yes, sir. Get out of here.
I will.
Go calm the hamster in your brain.
I will.
Yeah. And hey, Jim, let's go to the market, shall we?
Let's do it.
Meow. Bad touch.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Freedom Fiends reconvenes, tasing you with liberty. Yeah, all right. Yeah, for the insomniacs, swing shift workers, people in other countries, and those who just love having a syringe filled with liberty injected deep into their neck veins, welcome back. Hey, Jim.
Yo.
So one of the highlights of your week, you said, was meeting an activist named Rich Paul. He's a hero of mine who lives in the Shire. Why was it so cool meeting him?
Well, you know, I've followed his work for years, and he's done so many amazing things, and, you know, we've either he's been in jail or, you know, we just haven't been able to cross paths, and finally we were able to sit down and just have a talk, and I just really got a kick out of that, because he's so impressive, and for those that might not remember, to me, I mean, we could probably name five different things that are amazing, but the one that stood out to me was when he got in trouble with the law for engaging in some allegedly unapproved commerce. They offered him the benefit of saying, hey, why don't you wear this wire and go spy on your friends? And, you know, and he said, oh, he said, absolutely not. And went public immediately. And it made his life harder. It did. He could have made his life easier. But he did the right thing. He stood up. And he ended up, I believe, he went to jail for about a year, if I recall.
Yeah.
Instead of taking the easy way out, and compared to other people that have been in this situation, which, you know, just rolled on their friends and their lives were actually ruined by doing that. You know, Rich showed that, you know, he has the integrity and the courage, and he's come out of it stronger and more impressive, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, there's something to be said. We don't have the reputation systems in place to reward a person like Rich for his courageous actions, like, yet. But in my mind, he scored some serious reputation capital points for doing what he did.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, whereas it was a difficult choice to make, and you don't see the concrete reward up front, but just, I don't know, the example he set, I think that sets a good example for others to follow in the future. Like, you don't have to turn on your friends, and it probably won't even help. I hear so many stories of people who get pinched and then they testify against their buddies in court, and they both end up in jail, or they end up in jail later on a different crime, or someone else flips on them. So it's just a bad situation to be involved in.
I mean, if I don't know if you remember, it was like right before Rich's situation, there was a girl in the Philadelphia area, and we don't need to say her name, but she was in a similar situation, and she ratted on her associates, and they promised her it would be anonymous and she'd never get caught. And then they released her name in public. They completely betrayed her. Of course, right? You make a deal with the devil. What are you supposed to trust them? Forget it.
Why do you conceal her name?
Stacy Litz. I don't know.
Do you feel like it's wrong to, like, drag her name through the mud, or she's not responsible
no,
for her actions?
No, you know, I just think it's not a necessary detail to the story, but it was Stacy Litz, and, you know, and she's done her best to try to recover from it, but her reputation will forever be damaged. And, you know, I think she regrets what she did, because it totally backfired on her.
So maybe I have to take that back. We do sort of have the reputation systems in place to, you know, moderate this kind of behavior. Like, she is feeling the consequences of her actions, that people divorce themselves from her personally and digitally on Facebook and other social media platforms. They don't want to interact with her or be friends with her friends. So, you know, it's been the opposite effect for Rich, where he's become more trustworthy for his community.
Well, Exactly. And I think there's a lesson there. And I also, you know, kind of felt bad that, you know, when the negative event happened with what Stacey did, it was, you know, it was all over social media. Everybody's talking about it. It's like everybody chimed in with how disgusted they were and blah, 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 you know. And then, you know, Rich got a lot less attention for being the hero.
And I'm like, no, that's a good point.
All those people that wasted all those keystrokes whining about what Stacey did, could you have just spent half of the same energy, you know, saluting somebody who did the right thing? You know, like, I feel like he deserves a lot more recognition for what he did.
Yeah. Well, more than recognition, I think it would be nice if everybody smoked him up. Because there's certain people in life that I just feel like I always want to, you know, offer them nice things. Like if I ever saw a Cheech and Chong on the street, you know, I would want to offer them something nice. It's the same with Rich and other activists who are willing to make a stand like that and take some lumps.
Absolutely.
From the judicial system.
And, you know, right. And, you know, he would always be welcome in my home, and I'd be willing to provide whatever hospitality I could at any time to him. You know, he's earned that. And he's earned that from, I mean, I just think that he does need to feel some reward because he took some hits for the team. There's no doubt about that.
Did he talk to you about his jail experience?
You know, we didn't really get a lot of, I didn't really have time for a lot of details about that. It wasn't a very long chat, and there were, you know, other people hanging around. I have to get back with him, find out some more.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
What did he tell you about his jail experience?
Well, he said that it's boring, you know, like it's hard to be in jail. But as far as jails go, the Keene jail is a pretty good one. He is able to write to his friends, to correspond, to blog from jail, to read books that are donated and can be somewhat seditious. Some of the books that have been donated to the Keene jail, many of the listeners may have read themselves, purchased at Porkfest. So, the reading could be enjoyable there. So, but it is still jail. It is not a good time. And I'm glad that he's freer now, although is considered a felon. So he has some of his freedoms diminished in that he can't carry a firearm freely without
legally.
Fear. Yeah, without fear.
With permission.
Right. That is one of the difficult ones. I still don't have the freedom to carry a firearm concealed without government permission. So annoying. Like, the state, I don't know if you heard about this, Jim, but in New Hampshire, the state House and Senate both voted that they want constitutional carry, meaning I don't need permission from the state in order to carry a firearm any way I want. But now that it's reached the desk of the governor, she can just sit on it. Like, there's no time limit for her to do anything, to take any action. And yeah. So now it's just waiting there. It's just sort of died. And this is like one of those political games that politicians will play of like, oh,
it
yes.
It seems like a pattern, right?
Yeah,
like,
here's your freedom.
Yeah, they float some really popular legislation out there. Stuff like, oh, everybody's going to love this. Maybe it was like audit the Fed or, you know, like this, you know, they advertise, look, right. We're giving you more freedom. And all these politicians get to say, I co-sign that. I want more freedom, you know. Ooh, everybody gets to wait. Ooh, just Rand Paul or ooh. You're like really excited. Okay. But the whole thing's a setup from the beginning because they've got 100 places down the line they can just flip the switch off, right? Dies in this committee, dies in that committee, gets amended to become the opposite of what it used to be. The governor, the executive, whoever it is, they can flip it off. You know, however, you remember a few years ago there was the Texas legislature wanted to abolish the TSA in Texas.
Oh,
they're like,
yeah, that was totally going to happen. What happened with that?
Yeah, Well, they got all, like, they literally, they had, like, overwhelming support, okay?
Yeah, it was going to happen.
And,
I remember.
And there was some weird backdoor Senate committee something, you know? It's like, yeah, just because everybody wants it doesn't mean you're going to get it. You know, whoa, wait a minute, whoa.
Yeah, they were talking, you know, so tough, too, like, not in Texas. We're not going to have them groping kids. Oh, wait, no, actually, that's fine.
Exactly. And I mean, it brought them to the point where the TSA said, well, we might have to, you know, ground those planes, you know, make Texas right. a no-fly zone or something. Yeah. Anyway, you know, they able to stall it enough to pull a few of the senators. Isn't New Hampshire kind of that way where you got all these state representatives, like 400 state reps? There's like one on every block, right, yeah. in New Hampshire?
Yeah, seriously.
But when it comes down to actually pulling the strings, there's only like a handful of senators, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's like 10 or something. I don't know. It's...
And that's where the lobbyists get to work on those guys, right? Like, who wants to try to bribe 400 state representatives and, you know, going door to door? Like they don't even have offices in the state house, right?
Right. It's impossible. I don't even think they have fax machines.
They're busy selling ice cream at Pork Fest and stuff.
some are.
At least one. So, but that, you know, that's the trick of government. You know, they have 100 ways of shutting down something that the people want. All the politicians get the political benefit of saying, well, I co-sponsored it. Hey, I can't control what happens later, right? You know, even though the whole thing is scripted, the whole thing is, you know, it's planned, it's already predetermined, you know, who's going to, how it's going to play out. And if the elites don't want it to happen, it's not going to happen no matter how many co-sponsors there are, no matter how people are going to vote, no matter how many calls go in, no matter how many emails you send and you get that form letter back.
That's
Senator so-and-so is so glad to hear your views. He will certainly consider it when...
That's why I'm voting for Vermin Supreme. A vote for Vermin is a vote completely thrown away.
Free ponies.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Yeah, uh-huh. Worms, 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 worms. Fiends. Hey, Jim.
Yo.
Hold hands with me. Can you feel it?
Oh, I can. I can feel it in my fiend bone.
True love. So, yeah. Hey, while we were on break, I was talking about Vermin Supreme and why I want to vote for him. He's one of the best politicians who actually is going to keep his promises to do like basically nothing. You know, yeah. one of the only politicians who will be upfront about his promises are just ploys to get your vote. And
I like him.
I like him too. An honest politician who wears a boot on his head.
I think he's brought a level of dignity to the electoral process that was missing.
Yeah, I was disappointed though because he wasn't at Porkfest. He's one of these special people who makes me completely starstruck. I can't even speak. I don't remember my name when I see him. Like, I really want to have a good formal introduction with him, but I've tried like two or three times and have yet to actually make a connection, make it happen.
He had such a presence, such an aura. Commands respect with his hat and the way he carries himself is so impressive. And I like the way he's offering free ponies. I think that could really do something for this country if everybody had a pony.
I think he's got some kind of MK Ultra mind control device up there in his boot because it sort of scrambles my brain whenever he's in the general proximity. Can no longer think straight.
It could be. I think, maybe some of the other candidates have that too, like Rick Santorum. Like people seem to get all confused when he's around.
I think he's a little confused. Hey, I want to know, your daughter was selling magnets at Porkfest. How did her magnet selling operation go?
It went great. Well, both daughters were in on it this year, Dorothy and Violet, and they did great. I don't know how much money they made, but they were stacking bitcoins and FRNs and silver dimes and silver bullets and bartering for ice cream and for hempsels and buttons and
so who's the older one?
Dorothy.
So did Dorothy explain to Violet how this is going to work? Was she sort of in charge? Like, here, you hold this sign, go up there to the different vendors, look cute and smile and ask them if they want a pin or button or how did this all work?
Well, Violet doesn't take instructions very well, so.
So she was on her own? It was like a free-for-all? Like, here's some buttons for you, go sell these?
We're a team, but, Violet's like, I want to go sell some magnets right now, Like she was kind of, she's ready to lead the charge at any time. And cool. She had a lot of her own designs that were very popular this year. So she got, that was a good feeling for her to, like, I think all of hers sold out completely. She had some really cool, like, purple porcupines and
does she make any worms? Any worms magnets for the fiends?
Well, we worked together on the worms. I don't remember if she actually helped with those, but did you get your worms magnet?
No, I didn't get any worms magnets.
Oh.
They stuck in my memory because that's
we'll
what
make sure you
of.
Get
but
one.
These are 3D printed magnets.
Yeah.
And do they do the design too? They they work with the program and print them out and assemble them and everything?
Yeah, it's kind of complicated, but going from design to creating a 3D model to getting it outputted, it's fairly complicated. So
once they do one, they can do anything.
Yeah, it's not that hard once you get a handle on the different steps that are involved. It's fairly simple, but and it's neat because there's a lot of great learning involved. So I love to see them learning it. And I've had to learn it just so I can explain it. And it's fun for me to learn, too.
Did they actually make money?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they made a lot of money this time. I think. I don't know. I don't know how much. But
did they escape vendors' fees by peddling on foot?
What's it? There were vendors' fees?
I don't know. I just assumed there were.
I don't know. But, they didn't have a table space or anything like that to pay for. So,
yeah, it seems like that's, can do that. Seems like that's the way to do it. If you've got something to sell, you keep it mobile.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. You save money that way. And you have more freedom. You can vend when you want to.
Right on.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot, no gov.
a Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, "You didn't build that"? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Wormy worms. Greece.
Greece is in crisis again. It's always happening. This happens like every other year. They run out of money and then they ask for more. And then I don't know who, the IMF, some intergovernment agencies, they give Greece more money. And then Greece politicians spend it all and say, "Whoops, we could have never predicted this." And so now it's happening again, Jim. Panicked Greeks drain cash from ATMs as moment of truth nears in debt crisis, is a headline over at Vice.com. And I thought this was an interesting story because I can, you know, I hear about this happening a lot. I see these pictures of everyone, you know, face palming. As they're standing in line at ATMs trying to withdraw cash, apparently 500 of these things, of 7,000 of them, have just run out. Like,
oops.
Yeah. Can you imagine going to your ATM? You're like, "Well, this is no problem. I'll just take out my money because I've got money in the bank. Do-do-do-do-do. Here I am at beep, beep, beep. No money. What? Why no money? Oh, I have to go." I mean, what do you, where do you go when the ATM has no money? You're at the bank already.
That's tough. Well, you know,
go to
Bitcoin
the next
users
one and the next
no,
one.
You go to your Bitcoin wallet. You just go to your Bitcoin wallet and you keep going. I hate to laugh because it is, I mean, sure that it can be shockingly tragic for those involved. And I don't mean to make light of a very serious situation, but this happens at the end of just about any regime, doesn't it? They, you know, in the olden days, they would like clip the gold, the coins. They would like cut a little bit of gold off the edge. They would to try to just devalue it. They would try to do anything they could to just make more money and make more money. And eventually the whole thing collapses. So, you know, without the Federal Reserve, I mean, can't our Federal Reserve or the U.S. Federal Reserve just print up a bunch of money and send it over there and save everybody?
Well, that's like, it's kind of interesting because, yeah, they deal in the euro. And, you know, of course, the U.S. deals with the dollar. But if they don't get more money from, like, the IMF, if they don't get more euros, then they're going to have to make more, like, of a Greek currency. Like, they'll have to make a new kind of currency. It would be like the Zimbabwe notes, you know?
Don't they still have the drachma? Or I forget what they call their currency.
But, no, I thought they were on. I thought maybe they still have it and they use both. But I know Greece has been on the euro, so...
Well, it's time to get off the euro. How about that?
Well, you're right. They should be using Bitcoin wallets, and this is something they really could do. Like, if there are Greek people who are starting to panic and they're worried, like, okay, the cash isn't showing up in the ATM, you know, why not connect your your digital money in your bank account to a Coinbase account or some way that you can turn your digital cash into bitcoins or some other digital currency.
I have a feeling that they're going to be able to adapt very quickly to any changes that are coming. And it, although it may be disruptive, I mean, let's face it, the people will always barter, trade, find a different medium of exchange, whatever they have to do to buy food, you know, gas, they're going to do it.
It should be like Amazon gift cards. I'm just wondering, like, what's going to be the currency of 2015 Greece, like if there is
it's
a collapse,
Ouzo.
What do people use?
It's
Ouzo, yeah.
Ouzo, yeah. Olives, I don't know, you know, but they'll find something, right?
Yeah, I guess that is, or fancy sunglasses. I feel like that's what I know the Greeks for.
You know, I kind of remember a story from the last Greek financial crisis, and they were people are like, those Greeks don't pay their taxes. That was like a headline I had read, and it turns out that the Greeks are, at least according to some article I read, really good at not paying their taxes.
Oh,
so
we have something to learn from them.
Yeah, like they have some kind of like awful like swimming pool tax or something where they're like, if you have a swimming pool, you have to pay, you know, like $1,000 or something. And of course, nobody pays it. But you can, you know, Google Images will show you that everybody has a pool. So
that is so weird. A swimming pool tax.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Well, why not? Right. You know, those.
I don't know. The taxes in the U.S. can be pretty strange, too. Like, there's a tax on rain in some places. Like, there's a tax on how much rain your property gets.
Really? How do they measure that?
Well, like, the weather people in your area, they measure how much rain your area has gotten. And so I think everyone gets taxed on that.
And they just send you a bill like, oh, it was a very wet season. Pay up, sucker.
Yeah, now you owe us money. It makes about as much sense as you weren't wearing a seatbelt. Now you owe me money.
Right. So once you've accepted one of these things, it's they're all fair game.
Yes.
Right. You can just tax anything.
You did X.
Wait.
Now you owe me money. It
right.
doesn't matter what X is.
Well, you know, the sun came up today. Did you pay your sunrise fee? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. If we don't pay it, who's going to make the sunrise come up, right?
Like,
that could be the angle. Like, if you don't, why do you hate the sunrise?
You anti-sunner.
Yeah. If you don't want the sun to rise, you know, move to Antarctica.
Or Somalia. Somalia is always the place people are telling the anti-government folks to move, or not anti-government, the pro-liberty, pro-independence people. It's not like Somalia is some representation of freedom, though. A collapsed state.
Of course not.
It's not the same as a free state.
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, it's been ravaged by horrible governments, and like they're rebuilding. I still think we should have like a big liberty conference there. Just for
in
the hell
Somalia,
of it.
Somalia, yeah, just for jokes.
Yeah, why not? Like, you
I
know,
wonder if we'd be greeted with open arms. We'll be greeted
they have
as liberators.
Hotels and stuff. They have hotels and
oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, if we can survive it at Rogers Campground, what I mean, so how bad could Somalia be? Really?
Yeah, good point.
So
they at least have bathrooms in Somalia.
Yeah, and maybe we could bring in some shower trucks, you know, or something. I don't know what they need, but
you know, speaking of Rogers and needs, it's pretty popular for folks to enjoy recreational drugs during Pork Fest. I know this is shocking, but sometimes people will do that. And one of the things that Pork Fest lacked that I think it could use in future years is a drug testing service that they have at some raves and dance parties where there will be a vendor who, either for pay or as a volunteer, will test the drugs that people have with them. And
what kind of drugs can they test?
You could test MDMA or LSD, I don't know, pretty much any kind of drug that there is, there's a test to verify whether or not it's authentic. And, you know, this could be a valuable service for someone.
Yeah.
Either you want to know what you're putting in your body. You want to be informed about it. And a lot of people, if they're experimenting with something new for the first time, it's even more important to be sure you know what you're putting in your body. So I just thought
would this help people? Yeah, would it help people like understand the dosage and make sure they're getting exactly the quantity of each substance that they desire?
You know, I'm not certain about dosage, although I assume that the vendor, I don't know, if I were testing LSD, for example, I would be able to tell if it's authentic, but I wouldn't be able to tell how much is on a tab. I would just be able to make recommendations to a person about like what is safe for them to consume, not specifically about like what their particular item is safe to consume. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, you know,
I don't know how much is on their tab, but I can tell them, you know, how much they should be consuming, how much would be a safe level.
Well, you know, I've noticed that since marijuana edibles have become really popular, that I hear stories from people that are like that they ate too much. Okay. And
yeah,
this never happened when people were smoking it. But, you know, you look at a brownie or candy or something, and it's very difficult to know what the dosage is.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's a market demand there to help people understand exactly how many milligrams of THC or micro, I don't know, whatever the unit would be. But, because it just seems like, The people that do this, that when they eat too much, it seems like it can be a very unpleasant experience.
Yeah, I want to prevent that. I want them to have a positive experience. So we need a friendly neighborhood agorist pharmacist. Someone who
something
can
like that. Yeah,
yeah,
some kind of quality control laboratory. Was it on the last Fiends on Saturday, or where was it? Yeah, our last time when we had so many Fiends together, I think it was Saturday. And somebody discussed a home THC testing kit where you could find out how high you are and determine if you needed more. Is that how that worked?
No, it was a drug testing kit to see if there's any THC in your system, so that if you have like a drug test for employment, you can be sure that you're safe before you head in.
Oh, okay. So, but presumably you could use it the other way too, and you're like, whoa, those levels are dangerously low. And take whatever needed actions were required to rectify that deficiency.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the vending machine carried the remedy for that situation. But maybe that could be another possibility next year.
Yeah. It's nothing the free market can't provide.
The heroin vending machine of Porkfest 2016.
Over by the playground would be the right place for that, I assume.
Yeah, yeah.
The Brad Spangler Memorial Playground.
Just kidding, kids.
Yeah, right, we're now getting quoted. Right. Of course we're joking.
Right. Although you're in Philadelphia.
Do people know that?
No. It's not a joke where you live, where needles litter the playgrounds.
It's true.
But that's okay. We're changing the game.
Right.
Vermin Supreme is going to clean up the streets. And Dorothy will help with her magnets.
He will.
We'll be right back after this trip to the market.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow,
meow, meow.
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 Meow, meow.
Greece. Bitcoin. Food. It's all good. Sorry you're running out of money, yes. Greece. But it's going to be okay, because you're doing a lot better than Weimar Germany did back when it was having cash problems. You've actually got an escape.
Had no alternative.
Yeah, you've got things you can do. Like, it's not just, I'm all for Bitcoin, and I know a lot of the fiends love Bitcoin, but really, like, think of all the other solutions they've got, like internet points, like, I don't know, I'm not even on these video game sites like Steam or whatever, but you could trade in all sorts of digital goods. Some countries, people trade cell phone minutes, you could trade Amazon gift cards, anything that's going to have value. It doesn't need to be euros. So I think a lot of people are seeing that.
I think Ouzo.
Ouzo,
I think it's a combination
of
Bitcoin and Ouzo is going to get them through this crisis.
Mm-mm. Yeah, so I'm hopeful for Greece and for the future. Because Greece is just the canary in the coal mine, right? If I'm the warrant canary near the rowdy mud skipper, then I will remind the rest of the world that what happened in Greece, or what's happening there now, can happen anywhere. So,
in fact, it's inevitable.
Yeah, why don't
it always happens. You don't know when, but it's mathematically impossible to just keep printing money forever and not have an eventual run on the bank.
Right.
So,
and I don't say that to be like, ooh, scary, like freak out. Like, don't freak out. Just take some steps. Some easy steps to prepare yourself. You can download a free Bitcoin wallet right now and go get some Bitcoin, you know, from anywhere.
Educate yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't hurt to have a little, you know, reserve of gold and silver and some Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Just to get you through an emergency, right? I mean, because if the bank, like on a run on the bank, at least if you've got some silver or some Bitcoin, you could still go out and trade. And, I mean, specifically, even silver is going to be even easier in a real crisis, because somebody's going to give you food for silver, no matter who they are. You can make that deal. So have a little bit of that as a backup.
Did you trade any silver at Porkfest this week? It's usually a pretty popular medium, especially if the Wi-Fi isn't working on the Bitcoin.
Yeah, well, the Wi-Fi seemed to be working pretty good this year. There were several different Wi-Fi, so there was a lot of Bitcoin transactions. The kids accepted silver from a number of different people, but we would just hang on to that. I wouldn't try to buy stuff with it, because I want to keep it.
Yeah, me too. I saw that Sons of Liberty Mint silver. They do quarter ounces that are in real sharp square pieces, and they're easy to trade.
I like those.
Yeah, it just looks and feels great to be able to hand somebody real value, and you can see it and feel it in your hand when you're trading value value like that.
Speaking of, Bernard von Nothaus gave me his special Porkfest Liberty dollar. Did you get one of those by any chance?
What? No.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. It's a Liberty. I believe it looks like about a half ounce. And it has a custom back stamping on it, and it says Free State Project.
No way.
New Hampshire, and it's got Occupine on it.
So cool.
Yeah, and it was given to me directly by Bernard, extremely generous man. That's a treasure.
Wow, what an amazing story. He was one of the most exciting people that I got to meet this week.
Nice guy too. You know, and we're talking about the owner, the founder of the Liberty Dollar, the private currency. He got millions and millions of dollars worth of private currency circulated, and kind of angered some of the higher ups in the they tried to crush him, but they failed.
Yeah. Well, he was showing people that they could use real money, that they could use something that actually held value better than the alternative, the federal dollars.
And he did it so well.
Yeah, but he's not allowed to do that anymore. He competed with them too well. Well, at least he made his point, and it's on video now. The record
definitely
will show.
And you know what? And he's another example of what the Greeks can do.
There are so many alternatives. The state's going to fail, but it's okay.
Let it fail.
We can laugh and prepare to be resilient and live independently in the freedom world of the future. In LibPair with all our freedom fiend friends. Hey, this has been fun, Jim. Thanks for helping me calm the hamster in my brain tonight.
My pleasure.